Due to the extreme nature of this programme, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13. As well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age, again, listener discretion is advised.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the next episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. Focusing on everything that's relevant to the greatest generation alive today, Generation X. So if it involves movies, music, TV, and a bit of history from 1960 through 1999, we're going to talk about it. Who knows? You might just learn something before it's all said and done. And if you're lucky, this grouchy old fart might just regale you with a story or two. I'm Robert Pop, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Furburgers, the place that keeps you coming over and over.
You may be able to get it your way at BK, or you may be loving it at those Golden Arches. But now introducing the place that will have you coming over and over. Hi, I'm Harry Fur. Me and my brother Bear saw there was a gap in the burger market that needed filling, and that's why we opened Fur Burgers. We have the widest menu selection of any burger joint. You can get a Harry Fur Burger or a Bear Fur Burger, whatever your preference is. But we also offer seafood with our famous bearded clams. You want a taco instead? We have the best fish tacos around. Maybe it's chicken you want. We have large breasts or thick thighs, and everything at Fur Burgers comes with a shake. And no drive-through service, because we want you to take your time so everyone is satisfied. Come taste the difference Fur Burgers has to offer.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimize those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to this episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. This week, we are traveling back in time to 1982, and today's topic is going to be Huey Lewis and the News. That was the year they had their first top chart hit. So, back in 1982, our world leaders were Leonid Brezhnev from the Soviet Union. Don't worry about watching us. We are watching you. Here in the United States, we had President Ronald Reagan. Somebody tried to shoot me. I don't really know why. I mean, you know, take one for the Gipper. And then over in the United Kingdom, that's right, Margaret Thatcher. Top headlines for that year: Michael Jackson's groundbreaking album Thriller was released, and thousands upon thousands of people think they can dance like Michael Jackson. You know who I'm talking about. Yes, you do. We used to work together, but they can't. So there's that. The breakup of AT&T monopoly was ordered, which surprises me because there's so many more monopolies that are out there. Huh. That's weird. Argentina invaded the Falkland Islands. Disney's futuristic Epcot Center, which stood for Experimental Community of Tomorrow, is opened. The Tylenol capsules laced with potassium cyanide killed 7 people in Chicago, and because of that, that's why we have this quadruple ceiling on stuff, including water bottles, aspirin, I mean, just pretty much anything, because some sick motherfucker out there decided that they were going to poison people. On the side note on that, they've never caught anybody with that. Some people believe that maybe Ted Kaczynski was part of that, because he was actually from the Chicago area, and he was, how do I put this, fucking nuts. So There's that theory that's out there. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial was dedicated in Washington, D.C., which was really fantastic that they did that, because the guys from Vietnam really took it in the ass when they came back. The first commercial use of genetic engineering is launched when human insulin is produced by a bacteria and it is marketed. So that's pretty cool. Wave of terrorism attacks in France by the infamous Carlos the Jackal. All-time record lows in dozens of cities throughout the Midwestern United States is hit that winter. And I remember that. That was, holy shit. I mean, for a kid here in the Midwest, yeah, it sucked. Because, of course, my generation, we had to walk uphill both ways barefoot in the snow to school every day, 45 miles each way. Israel forces invade Lebanon. Thousands of Palestinian refugees in refugee camps in West Beirut are murdered by Lebanese militia. The Provisional IRA continues its bombing campaign in London and mainland Britain. Around 700,000 demonstrators gather in New York City Central Park protesting the proliferation of nuclear weapons. The International Whaling Commission decided to end commercial whaling, so that's good. It hasn't stopped anything, but because now the pirates are out there doing it. Lech Walesa, leader of the outlawed Solidarity movement, is released after 11 months in jail in Poland. Yasser Arafat is elected the president of the Palestinian National Council. The serial killer Clifford Robert Olson is convicted and given 11 concurrent life sentences for the murder of 11 children in Canada. Leonid Brezhnev, the general secretary of the Communist Party, died of a heart attack. And I believe we have some audio on that. Roll tape. Oh, Soviet Russia is, oh my God, oh, my chest, oh. Long live Stalin. Then, Yuri Andropov. I've always said that if I was going to have a limo company, it would be Russian Limo Company, because it'd be pick up and drop off. Chosen as a successor, John W. Hinckley, found not guilty because of insanity for shooting President Reagan. And Alexander Haig, he resigned as Secretary of State after his complete debacle after Reagan was shot, that he stood up in front of cameras and said, "We can't find the Vice President. I'm now in charge," which actually he was like 17th on the list. So, yeah, he needed to resign immediately, but it took him a year or so. So, notable deaths that year. Princess Grace, 52 years old. She died of injuries when her car plunged off a mountain road. Her daughter was with her, Stephanie. She was 17 at the time, and she suffered serious injuries. One that really, really hit home for me when I was a kid was when John Belushi died of a drug overdose at the age of 33. That, I know that we were just coming out of the, you know, the 70s, and we were headed into the 80s, and drug use was crazy, you know, it was just everywhere. But that was an absolute shame that we lost such a comedic genius. Yeah, so Godspeed, John. Ingrid Bergman, another one of my favorite actresses from days gone by. Satchel Paige, baseball great. Paul Lynde, from most people remember him from Hollywood Squares. I, however, remember him as Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. Henry Fonda, he passed away that year. Bess Truman, she passed away. Marty Robbins, I saw him in concert. And Jack Webb, Joe Friday. I have a lot of, I really like Jack Webb. And I don't know why. I mean, he wasn't a great actor, but he could just do that deadpan so easy. So, Yeah, he passed away. Cost of living in 1982. So the average cost of a new house, $82,200. Average income for that year, $21,000. Average rent, $320. Average cost of a gallon of gas, 91 cents. New car price, approximately $7,900. U.S. postage stamp. And it's amazing when the cheaper the postage stamp was, the better the postal service was. Now that we're paying like, I don't know, what is it, $37 for a fucking stamp now? You'd be lucky if you get your mail. Back then, the postage stamp cost 20 cents. Tomatoes were 39 cents a pound. A bag of Cheetos, average cost, 89 cents. And a brand new color TV, Sony, big screen. I'm going to tell you what, 19-inch. 19-inch. I think my fucking computer screen is bigger than that. 19-inch, $499. I think you can get those now at Walmart for what, 47 cents or some shit like that? Just how small they are? I don't know. I was in there. I was in Sprawlmart yesterday, and I did see that a 65-inch is $300. 65-inch. I keep thinking, where am I going to put that? Where? Because what a bargain. Plus, my TV is getting, you know, it's getting on about, I don't know, what, 10 years old or so? So I keep expecting it to take a shit any day. So, in the music store, top five songs in the U.S., Hurt So Good by John Cougar, and then later Mellencamp, and then later John Mellencamp. And no matter how he spelled it, I was never a fan of him. Eye of the Tiger from Rocky, that was by Survivor. Abracadabra by the Steve Miller Band. Centerfold by Jay Giles. I never was much of a Jay Giles fan. I mean, you know, they got this filthy song about this dude that went to school with this chick, then he sees her in Playboy, and he's hoping to still get with her, you know? And then, finally, on that top five, Don't You Want Me by Human League, and a rare recording of Richard Nixon covering this song. Let's take a listen. Don't you want me? Tell me so. Don't you want me? Thank you, Mr. President. Top five songs on the R&B chart. Doing a little Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye. Everybody has played this song. Everybody knows that song. So, one of the worst songs by two powerhouses. Yeah, sometimes it's not magic when you combine people such as Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. The Girl Is Mine. And I think the only reason why it sold was because of the names. Because the song sucked so bad. So, first off, it was creepy because Michael Jackson was, what, in his 20s at this time? And Paul McCartney was, what, 187? The Girl Is Mine. No, Michael, she's mine. So, I mean, either Michael's chasing a cougar or Paul's being a fucking pedophile. Either way, song sucked. Truly by Lionel Richie. Nasty Girl by Vanity. I love that song. If you've ever seen the movie, which I'm sure you have, Beverly Hills Cop, when he's in the bar, want to be a nasty girl, that's Vanity. And by the way, she was discovered by Prince. And finally on the R&B chart, Baby Come to Me by Patty Austin with a duet by James Ingram, which was a good song. Top five songs on the country chart. My number one guy, The Bird by Jerry Reed. Then Wild and Blue by John Anderson, a love song by Kenny Rogers, I Don't Remember Loving You by John Conley. And Mr. Conley, I can relate. And then finally, A Hard Candy Christmas by Dolly Parton. Great song there. Top one hit wonder songs. And dear God, there is the top one is one that I would rather slam my fingers in a door repeatedly than ever fucking hear it again. Mickey by Tony Basil. So all of you guys that were like, oh, she's so hot. Yeah, you know what? She was like your grandma. She was your grandma's age when she put on that fucking cheerleader outfit. So she was like 58 years old when she did Mickey. 876-5309, Jenny by Tommy Two Tone. IGY, Love this song. What a Beautiful World by Don Fagen. Nobody by Sylvia and Tainted Love. Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. Yes, because of the fucking Coneheads, that's the way I have to sing it now. It's just, that's just the way it's in my head. And an honorable mention. This wasn't one of the top songs, but it was a one-hit wonder by a couple of guys that I absolutely adored. Take Off, by Bob and Doug McKenzie, who had their fame on SCTV, Second City Television. And everything was, take off, take off, you hoser. That's definitely Youper talk. So, on the crime beat, the sixth largest cash robbery in history occurs in New York when $11 million is stolen from an armored car. And this just blew me away. I kind of remember it, so I really did some research on this. So, immediately after the robbery was discovered, Century Armored Car officials told the police it appeared that $1 million had been stolen. Later, they changed the figure to $8 million, then scaled it back to $5 million, and then they finally revised it to $9 million. And as time goes on, by the time they hit the trial, it was $11 million in cash, checks, and food stamps. Police officials say that they could not explain the varying estimates. Well, I can. So here's the thing. Okay, roll with me on this. You had these guys that said, oh, it's about $1 million. Okay. Somebody's stuffing shit in their pocket. They go, oh, no. It's this figure. And then somebody else is stuffing shit in their pockets. And they said, no, I think we're closer to this. So it's all over the place because I think there was some sticky-fingered five-finger discount going on. So just my theory. Police officials say that they could not explain the varying estimates. Early in the investigation, James T. Sullivan, boy, that's a great Irish name, the chief of detectives, said the robbery had, quote, many earmarks of an inside job, end quote, because the robbers were apparently familiar with the company's operations and the physical layout of the building. Three men, including a father and son, were sentenced to prison. Sentences of 15 years and fines of $35,000 were imposed on both Christos Potamus, a former guard for Century, and Eddie Argitakos, a Queens accountant. They were convicted of the theft. Mr. Argitakos' father, Steve, was sentenced to 4 years and fined $5,000 for hiding the stolen money. Imposing the sentences, Judge Edward Winefield said the theft of $1 million in cash, checks, and food stamps was, quote, a crime of greed. Well, no shit. Any robbery is a crime of greed. Fuck me. That had been, quote, coolly planned, end quote. Most of the theft involved cash. Only about $1 million of it was recovered. And Century then went out of business. Judge Winefield noted that most of the money was still missing, described it as a substantial amount even in these days' inflation. Fuck, it's still a lot of money today. He added that the defendants had stonewalled about the missing money and the hope of enjoying it later. The three defendants were convicted. Chris and Eddie were released from federal prison in 1991, but the money has never been recovered. Well, I don't know. Maybe they got Alzheimer's. I don't know. Maybe they, the accountant dude, maybe he buried it somewhere and then died before telling him. Fuck, I don't know. In the movie theater, had some good ones, had some bad ones. 48 Hours, good movie. Six Pack, not so great. Annie, good movie. Author, not so great. Beastmaster, meh. Blade Runner, Conan the Barbarian, Creepshow. That fucked with me as a kid. Even though a lot of it was puppetronics, that really fucked with me. Dark Crystal, that was a sucky movie. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, that was another just absolute Emmy Award-winning performance by Steve Martin back in the day. Death Wish 2, Diner, that was a good movie. Eating Raoul, that sucked donkey dicks. E.T. E.T. Phone Home. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Gandhi. That was a great movie. I still watch that one today. Night Shift. Officer and a Gentleman. Poltergeist. Now, I do have to tell you a little story, and maybe I've told it before, but when my daughter was about, oh gosh, probably 6 or 8 years old, we did this scare fest one summer when they came out to visit me, and Poltergeist was one of them. And Poltergeist fucked with her so bad that her mom had to tell me that for 6 months she had to sleep with the light on because it had messed with her so bad. But it also has instilled quite the desire for scares. So yeah, she likes to be scared. Rambo, First Blood, that was out there. Rocky III, Slumber Party Massacre, that sucked. Star Trek Wrath of Khan, falling into the every other Star Trek movie as great from the original cast. So first one sucked, second one was better, third one sucked, fourth one was better. And yeah, being a Trekkie, I don't mind saying that. Swamp Thing, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton. That was a good movie. Man from Snowy River, The Thing, The Toy. God, I hated that movie. Richard Pryor, Jackie Gleason, probably one of the most. I just hated that movie. Things Are Tough All Over. Tootsie, Tron, Victor Victoria. Love that movie. White Dog. One of Robin Williams' worst fucking movies. The World According to Garp. And another Emmy Award winner, Zapped. And if you don't remember that one, that's where Scott Baio basically gets doused in some chemicals. It gives him telekinesis, and he's able to go around making all the girls' clothes come off. So, there you go. On TV, we were flipping through the channels, checking out some of these shows. 9 to 5, the TV series, that stunk. American Playhouse, At the Movies, Blue and the Gray, the miniseries. God, that was a good miniseries. I would love to see this, like, out there on some streaming service. I can't find this. And North and the South, that's the other one that was great at that time. Let's see, we were also watching Cagney and Lacey, Cheers, Fame, Family Ties, Fraggle Rock, Down at Fraggle Rock, Gilligan's Planet, that sucked. Gloria, that was the spinoff of All in the Family, that stunk. Herbie the Love Bug, that was great. The Incredible Hulk. Joni Loves Chachi, that sucked. Knight Rider, Late Night with David Letterman, Matt Houston, and Newhart, Nature, the TV program, Police Squad with Leslie Nielsen, Remington Steele. Love that show. And I wish I could do a Jack Palance Ripley's Believe It or Not. That was on. And I'd love to see that out there, too, streaming. St. Elsewhere. Silver Spoons. Square Pegs. God, I hated that show. Fucking Sarah Jessica Parker. To me, she looks like Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. And I think she's got the personality and the voice to match. She just irritates me on almost every level. Not so much as the Mariah Carey, but, and by the way, you would know what I'm talking about if you're on TikTok and there's a gal on there that talks about jumping spiders. And Sid, the little black spider, he's afraid of the Mariah Carey who emerges from her ocean depths during the holiday season, singing her siren song until everybody exchanges the same $20 gift card and then retreats. And the only way to get rid of the Mariah Carey is you have to basically present the Mariah Carey with the Mariah Carey, which I think is amazing. It's very funny. If you have not seen this on TikTok, look for it, please. Being an old bug guy, yeah. I still love spiders. So, T.J. Hooker, it was on. And, of course, our topic for today is Huey Lewis in the news. So, stick around after these words from some of my fake sponsors. This portion of the show is brought to you by Anal Tech. On the whole, we've got your ass covered.
Today I want to talk to you about something serious. It's a problem men and women have had since the dawn of undergarments, leaving skid marks in your shorts. Sure, we all poop, and that means we all wipe. But sometimes, excuse the pun, shit happens. Now you can be confident that you're not going to dirty up your underwear or your pants if you're going commando. Introducing brake pads from the makers of the one-and-done wipe, Anal Tech. You simply place a brake pad between you and the affected clothing region, and voila, no more skid marks. From Anal Tech, available at all fine retailers.
Any claims of time travel are purely fictitious and are only meant for entertainment purposes. And honestly, if you believe Rob can travel through time, I only have one question for you. What the hell is wrong with you?
All right, welcome back from that break. And this week, I am going to be talking about Huey Lewis in the News. And I got to tell you, I saw these guys in concert during part of the geriatric tour before 2020, which it was great. It really was. But I want to give you kind of a history of Huey Lewis and the News. So they were a band based out of San Francisco, California. They had a run of hits during the 80s and early 90s, and eventually achieving 19 top 10 singles across Billboard's 100, adult contemporary and mainstream rock charts. Their sound draws upon earlier pop, rhythm and blues, and doo-wop artists, and their own material has been labeled as, quote, blue-eyed soul. It's also been noted as new wave, power pop, and roots rock. I like the blue-eyed soul comment on that, because to me that's where it hits. The group's two first albums were well received, with Huey Lewis's personal charisma as a frontman gaining notice from publications such as the Washington Post. But they struggled to find a wide audience. Their most successful album, Sports, was released in 1983. The album, along with the music videos being featured on MTV, which used to show music videos, catapulted the group to worldwide fame. Their popularity significantly expanded when the song Power of Love was featured in Back to the Future. And I gotta say, during the concert, Huey Lewis says, "All right, I know what you all want to hear." And little did we know that in 1984, when we wrote this for the 85 movie, that we would be singing it for the rest of our lives. And it's true. Yeah, I mean, if you really think about it, that's what happens to artists. They get that song that just really epitomizes them, and yeah, they're kind of stuck with it. So no matter what, whether they liked it or not, it's around. Anyway, The Power of Love reached number one on the Billboard Top 100 and was nominated for an Academy Award for the Best Original Song at the 58th Academy Awards. So that's kind of cool. The group's 1986 album, Four, produced two further number one singles with Stuck With You and Jacob's Ladder. The band's other top 10 hits include Do You Believe in Love, Heart and Soul, I Want a New Drug, The Heart of Rock and Roll, If This Is It, Hip to Be Square, featured in American Psycho, I Know What I Like, Doing It All for My Baby, and A Perfect World. So in 1972, singer, harmonica player Huey Lewis and keyboard Sean Hopper joined the Bay Area jazz funk band Clover. Clover had recorded several albums in the 1970s, and in the middle of the decade, transplanted themselves to Britain to become part of the UK pub rock scene. Without Huey, they eventually became the backing band for none other than Elvis Costello on his first album, My Aim Is True. Huey Lewis also worked with Irish band Thin Lizzy, which I love them, contributing harmonica to the song Baby Drives Me Crazy, recorded on stage for the Live and Dangerous album. Thin Lizzy's bassist and vocalist, Phil Lynott, introduced Huey by name during the song. The band then returned back to the Bay Area by the end of the 1970s. Clover's main competition in the Bay Area jazz funk scene was called Soundhole. Like Clover, Soundhole had spent time backing singers like Van Morrison. I like Van Morrison. After getting a singles contract from Phonogram Records in 1978, Huey Lewis joined Hopper, Gibson, Cola, and Cipollina to form the new group Huey Lewis and the American Express. Although they played gigs under this name in 1979, they recorded and released a single under the name American Express. Don't leave home without it. No. The single, Exodisco, is a disco version of the theme from the film Exodus and was largely ignored. The B-side of this record, Kickback, was a song that had previously been performed live by Lewis and his former band, Clover. In 1979, the band was joined by lead guitarist Chris Hayes and moved to Chrysalis Records, which occurred after their demo tape was heard by Pablo Cruz's manager, Bob Brown, who helped them land a record deal with the label. Chrysalis did not like the name American Express, thinking that it is going to infringe on trademark, and they decided they were going to change the name of the band. Later in 1980, the band released their first studio album, a self-titled LP, Huey Lewis and the News, and again, it went largely unnoticed. In 1982, which is our target year, the band released their second studio album, the self-produced Picture This. The album turned gold, fueled by the breakout success of the hit single, Do You Believe in Love? Largely because of that single, the album remained on the Billboard Top 200 album chart for 35 weeks and peaked at number 13. The follow-up singles from Picture This, Hope You Love Me Like You Say You Do, and Working for a Living, followed with limited success. Now, I gotta say, I love Working for a Living. And back in the day, I didn't have that tape, album, whatever, and it was kind of hard to find it. So, yeah, I was kind of glad when I was able to stumble across that song. Due to the record label delaying on the release of their third studio album, Sports, Huey Lewis and the News returned in late 1983 to touring small clubs in a bus to promote the record, eventually known as the Working for a Living Tour. The new album initially hit number 6 in the U.S. when it was first released. However, Sports slowly became a number 1 hit in 1984 and went multi-platinum in 1985, thanks to the band's frequent touring and a series of videos that received heavy MTV airplay. 4 singles from the album reached the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100. Songs like Heart and Soul reached number 8, while I Want a New Drug, The Heart of Rock and Roll, and If This Is It all reached number 6. At the beginning of 1985, the band participated in the all-star USA for Africa charity single, We Are the World, with Lewis taking a solo vocal. The song topped the music charts throughout the world and became the fastest-selling American pop single in history. Huey Lewis and the News were supposed to play the Philadelphia leg of the Live Aid benefit concert that July, but they pulled out 2 weeks before the concert over concerns that the money raised by the single and other efforts had not been spent to benefit Ethiopian famine victims, earning them a ferocious criticism from USA for Africa organizer Harry Belafonte. A year later, a Spin article suggested that much of the money raised from the single and concert had been misspent. Well, see right there. I think Harry owed them an apology because they were right and he was wrong. So there you go. Their song, Power of Love, was a number 1 hit and featured in Back to the Future in 1985, which they also recorded the song Back in Time. Huey Lewis has a cameo along with the rest of the news in the film as a faculty member who rejects Marty McFly's band audition for the school's Battle of the Bands concert. As an inside joke, the piece the band plays is an instrumental hard rock version of The Power of Love. Huey's response is, "Hold it, fellas, I'm afraid you're just too darn loud." The Power of Love was, like I said, nominated as for an Academy Award. Following the success of Power of Love and Back to the Future, Huey Lewis and the News released their fourth studio album, Four. And no, not the number, but as in Four for Golfing, F-O-R-E. In 1986, Four did follow the success of Sports and reached number one on the Billboard Top 200. The album spawned the number one single, Stuck With You, and Jacob's Ladder, as well as the mainstream hit Hip to Be Square. And as like I said, that was in American Psycho when Christian Bale was describing the music before he killed somebody. So that was cool. In all, the album had 5 top 10 singles on the Billboard Hot 100 and was certified triple platinum. The band continued to tour throughout 1987 and released Small World in 1988. After the previous two multi-platinum albums, Small World was considerably weaker, peaking only at number 11 and only going platinum. Still not bad. The album had 1 top 10 single, Perfect World. And I just, it didn't have the punch like the earlier ones did. Which Perfect World reached number 3 on the pop chart. At the end of the Small World tour in 1989, the band took a break from recording and heavy touring and parted ways with Chrysalis Records in 1991. They released Hard at Play on the EMI label in the U.S. and Chrysalis in the U.K., which went back to the R&B sound of their earlier albums and released the hit singles Couple Days Off. I love that song. That hit number 11 and Hit Me Like a Hammer, which peaked at number 21. The band once again changed labels, this time signing with Elektra Records, releasing a cover album in 1994 called Four Chords and Several Years Ago. I love this album. It is doo-wop and rock songs from the 1950s and 60s, and it is great. Unfortunately, I think I was the only one that thought that, because the album charted on the top 200 and had 2 hits on Adult Contemporary, but then fizzled. In 1996, the band released the Greatest Hits album, Time Flies, which primarily focused on the releases from Picture This, Sports, and Four, and included 4 new tracks. The band's lineup has changed moderately since its heyday. Bassist Mario Cipollina left the band in 1995 and was replaced by John Pierce. Tower of Power, which often served as the band's touring horn sections in the 80s, ceased their work with the band in 1994. Horn players Marvin McFadden, Ron Stallins, and Rob Suddeth joined the group in their place as the sports section. In 2001, Chris Hayes retired to spend more time with his family after performing on the album Plan B. Guitarist Steph Burns and Bill Hines became Hayes' successors, while James Hurrah had filed for Burns initially. While James Hurrah had filled in for Burns occasionally. On April 13th, 2009, touring saxophonist Ron Stallins died from multiple melanoma. That's sad. But in 2001, backing it up just a little bit, the News released their first album in 7 years, Plan B, on Jive Records. It only made the charts briefly with the lead single, Let Her Go and Start Over, becoming a minor adult contemporary hit. In December 2004, Huey Lewis and the News recorded their first live album, Live at 25, at the Sierra Nevada Brewing Company in Chico, California, commemorating the band's 25th anniversary. In 2008, they recorded the theme song to the action comedy film Pineapple Express at the request of Seth Rogen. The song is played over the end credits of the film and appears on the film's soundtrack album. The band returned to the studio in 2010, recording their first album in nearly a decade. The album, entitled Soulsville, is a Stax Record tribute album recorded at the legendary Ardent Studios. They would continue to tour regularly, playing around 70 dates a year until, and this just breaks my heart, 2018, when the band halted all touring after it was revealed that Huey Lewis had Meniere's disease. It's an inner ear disorder. In January 2019, Huey Lewis and the News signed with BMG Rights Management on February 14th, 2020, as Hurrah became the band's new rhythm guitarist. They released Weather, their first studio album since the songs on Plan B, which contained songs the band recorded prior to Huey's losing his hearing. In 2023, a new musical comedy inspired by the hits of Huey Lewis and the News was announced. The Heart of Rock and Roll is a romantic comedy that centers on a couple of 30-somethings who know exactly what they want from life until they meet each other. The musical is said to be jam-packed with Huey Lewis hits like Working for a Living, Stuck with You, and If This Is It. The band has sold over an estimated 30 million records worldwide. And as I said, I saw them in concert, and I tell you what, it was absolutely incredible. That was one that I took off my bucket or fuck it list, whichever you prefer. So I want to thank you folks for traveling back to 1982 and taking a stroll down memory lane here with Huey Lewis and the News. And we'll see you next time. Have a great week.
This has been Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's or GXO's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Pulpi Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer, and editor is Robert Pop. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. If you are a fan of the show, please show your support by going on to Spotify and follow us, like and share. It seems like such a small thing to do, but it really does help. For more information, support, suggestions, or to contact us, go to the website www.genxord.com. Thanks for listening.